It's Tuesday, May 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we've got a great show lined up for you, man. It's going to kick. I think you guys are going to like this show. There was just so much stuff that I found tonight to really go over. I think you're going to enjoy it. But I got a lot of, you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hey, just turned out that we didn't have any audio going on the live side, so I think I fixed that, so... Everyone, aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. I want to give you guys a big shout out and big thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the family here. That's probably one of the most important parts of my job in doing this show, is giving that shout out. So I want to thank all of you for staying subscribed and being here. Of course, if you're new to the show, thanks for being part of the family. And of course, we want to encourage you to go over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link.
Turned out that we...
on the website. That was nice, wasn't it? Anyway, that's the, you know, if you get subscribed to the newsletter is going to contain everything that I'm going to talk about during the show. And you will be able to follow along via email or, you know, just basically you'll have all the links to all the show notes there. You'll find the newsletter link on the website. And, of course, we want to encourage you to get subscribed to the podcast. That's available on the second column of the website. And one thing that we've done is we've added a new show to the network today. And I'm real happy to introduce the newest lineup or the newest show. And really, that is, I'm pretty excited to bring on board the Robot Underpants show. And the first show came up yesterday. And I think what you'll see is if you click on the Robot Underpants section, it'll take you over to the page and you'll see the video page there. This is done by one of my longtime, well, I've known Langley for a long, long time. He's been a fan of what we do over at Raw Voice. And he's got interesting perspective on things, and I think you're going to enjoy Langley's content. The shows are going to be relatively short, going to be a myriad of information, maybe just a little tech, a little talk about the social space, what's going on in San Francisco, and maybe just a little bit about the world as well. And his first show had a little challenges with the audio, just like I did about 2 minutes ago. And not making sure that the jack was plugged all the way into the machine that was feeding the audio to everybody. But Langley is he's been doing a variety of shows for a while, and I think he'll get this one dialed in on show number two. So he said, "Yeah, I know. I screwed up, messed something up in the system. So I'll get that fixed." So anyway, look forward to seeing Langley's shows on the network. And, of course, drop him a comment on the website. That's probably the best place to get feedback right now, is right on the actual blog itself. And if you want to get subscribed to there, you can, of course, as well. We want, of course, you can watch us on the Tech Podcast channel and the Blueberry channel on both the Roku and Boxy. So if you want to watch us post-show, you can watch us there. We're live tonight up on Ustream.tv, and we're also... live via by our own Flash server, so that's up and running and initialized tonight correctly. So we're both up on both streams. If you have comments on the show, really the best way to reach out to us is call the show hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Of course, you can reach me at Twitter at Geek News, And if you want to email the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And really, GoDaddy, man, they got a great deal for us this month. And as you guys remember, I talked about on the last show, the CES25 code is gone. So no longer can you get the 25% discount. But what I am offering to you this month is really an even better code. And it's the code is actually GEEKECO, so GEEKECO. And what the special offer is going to give you deluxe hosting for the price of economy. So really what you're going to do here is you're going to go over to GoDaddy.com or click on the link on the website in the show notes. And if you pick the 24 or 12 month plan at $6.99 a month, which is the deluxe pricing, and when you go to checkout, you're actually going to get charged $3.99 or about $48, close to $50 there for your 1 month or 1 year's worth of deluxe 4G hosting. And what I like about this new hosting is, and it's something new that they've worked out. Basically, you're not going to have to worry about having some knucklehead on the server anymore that's overloading. It's all cloud-based, so it expands and shrinks as needed. And best thing about it is unlimited websites and bandwidth, lots of email accounts for usage, 25 MySQL accounts, and probably a whole bunch of domains you can host there as well. So definitely check it out. It's a great value, and you get that for being a listener here at Geek News Central. This is an exclusive offer code. And of course, if you want to check out our other codes, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and you'll find all of my codes. I think there's 10 or 12 there for you to pick from. Twitter those codes, share those codes, blog those codes, put them on the bathroom wall. No, I'm just kidding. Any place that you can share them, we appreciate it. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Hey, boy, oh boy, this weekend, of course, all of you moms out there, hope you had a good Mother's Day. It was pretty inconsequential Mother's Day here at the house. We decided to stay in. We didn't go out and do the traditional Mother's Day dinner or lunch. Instead, my youngest son and I, we cooked breakfast because I couldn't get the two rascal older ones out of bed early enough to make breakfast for Mom. And then kicked the older ones into the kitchen in the afternoon and took over the kitchen duties. And they basically tried to give Mom as much of a day off as possible. And, you know, Mom's jobs never end. So it wasn't completely successful, but we did our best, and she had a nice Mother's Day. So I hope the rest of you moms out there had a good Mother's Day. And but besides that, man, it was just like homework from, I spent at least 10 or 11 hours working on my assignments. I got 3 more weeks of true class left, and then 1 week of finals, and I'm done. Done, D-O-N-E, done, no more college, done, graduate, done. I walk in June 18th, so cap and gown is ordered, degrees have been ordered, so looking forward to be finished, and it's been a long time coming, it really, really has. One thing I did find this weekend, and parents, I'm going to tell you, when I actually found this website, I was like, where has this website been all my life? And I don't even really want to tell the website because it's a great way for people to cheat. That's all I can say. And I was amazed. I got stuck on 2 segments. I had a big, long question, multiple questions, and I got everything but 2 little small segments that I was left, and I was literally stuck. No one to call, no call for help or nothing like that. And so, you know, you go to Google and you try to find, you know, some information. I'm in the textbook and I'm just like pounding my head against the side. And one of the search sent me over to Cramster, CARMESTER.com. Wow. I just couldn't believe it. It's just, if you're not familiar with this site, it's a little bit, first of all, there are ethics issues involved and going out, and it's one thing to ask for help and, you know, get some, you know, tutoring, but it's a whole different thing to go out and just like blatantly put questions on a website and get homework questions answered. I think that goes against most colleges' ethic rules, but I was like completely blown away by the level of detail of stuff going on that site. And I don't know fully how it works. I know that people have to subscribe and people have to somehow they pay for answers. I don't know exactly how it works, but I was just too, you know, I just basically, I turned my paper in with those 2 points of my question unanswered. I'll get knocked down a couple of points, but I legitimately didn't know how to finish them. And I told the professor that. I sent an email, you know, that's where I had a problem. And he'll write me back. So this is where you need to go in the text. This is where you screwed up, knucklehead. And that it'll be what it was. But I just could not believe that this resource, which could be really abused, it really could. And there's a lot of issues there. But pretty deep, extensive. And what led me there was the part of the question he had reworded and put different numbers in on a stats problem. So there was actually a questionnaire that showed how to work the problem, but it didn't apply to what I was doing. But I was blown away. I really was. And I'm sure colleges probably wish that site did not exist because it really could give people the ability to cheat. It really could. Hey, my Saturday private webinar, we went great. We had a good crowd, and we invited the insiders. I don't know how many insiders came out, but we'll be sending the insiders an email with a link to that webinar if they want to check it out. Of course, we're sending that link to all of our content creators over at Raw Voice, too, that missed the event, and we'll send that out. But had a interesting few emails come in to me over the past couple of weeks. You guys know that I used to run a bulletin board. It used to be live on the web. And one guy was like desperate looking for a specific file for a specific program that no one in the world probably had except for me. And I got this email and this guy's begging me to go into my archives and find this one specific file. And what I did was I went to my basically backups and I found one disk that had part of my BBS stuff backed up from years ago, found the single file. And the guy actually paid me $100 for the file. Now, it wasn't anything that would cause him to be able to do something illegal with software, but it was just something that was no longer available on the internet. And, the guy was ecstatic. You know, I think he could have kissed me. But you just never know where having backups of stuff is going to lead. And, you know, people have actually been sending me emails over the years, please restart your system, put it back up online. And I guess if I could figure out how to do it in the cloud, I would. But there's no way I'm going to run anything from here any longer. But maybe someday if I find the time, which I never have. Hey, still looking for 3 more hosts. So I want to get 3 more shows bounced here into GNC. So we're open for people to apply to be hosts at Geek News Central, putting together some video and audio shows and take your applications. Hey, all of this would not be possible without GoToMeeting. They're one of our key sponsors here at the show. And, you know, meetings are really an essential part of any business. And as I've been telling you over the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've been heavily, heavily using a GoToMeeting and doing a lot of follow-ups from our NAB show and everything that went along with that and making sure that our clients that we're working with and rolling out new sites and a variety of different services are all up in speed and a level playing field on, proposals and everything else. And it's been just an absolutely essential tool in my toolbox here. Over the past couple of weeks, being in Honolulu, I don't want to get on an airplane and have to fly. You know, one of our new clients is out of Utah. I don't want to have to fly to Dallas. I just don't want to have to go to all these places just for a short meeting. And some of these customers are going to be spending significant dollars with us. But being able to do it all online really keeps our overhead down and allows us to remain competitive. So this is why I love GoToMeeting. It really keeps me productive and keeps me focused, laser focused on what's going on. And I think as a listener of this show, you ought to give it a try. They've spruced up the graphics. So if you click on our link on the website, you're going to be dropped to this webpage. And you can try it for free 30 days. Put your name in, your email address, and basically click on the free trial button. You'll get in that way if you click on the banner. If you don't, you can go to gotomeeting.com directly. Again, you can go straight over to gotomeeting.com. Click on the orange try it free button. And then enter the promo podcast in the question and answer part they have on the screen there. So get that free 30-day trial. And we want to thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. Hey, got a lot of stuff to get into tonight as well. We're always looking for people to help support the show. And we had one of our $25 a month contributors went over a full year here. And I want to do a shout out to him, Dale. I want to thank you for being a $25 contributor for a full year. You're owed some swag, so I need a t-shirt size and or a polo shirt size so we can get you something ordered from the Insider Store. So really, from that Insider Store, from the Ohana Store. So go over to kathypress.com/Ohana Store and pick something out there, and we'll get it ordered for you. Lots going on. Let's go ahead and get into the content. And there is just a stack here. Hey, by the way, how are you guys liking trying to keep the format to the hour 10, hour 11 minute mark? And so far, we've been pretty much on the money for that from a time perspective. How's everyone liking how I'm trying to keep the format a little tighter? If you're enjoying that, love to hear from you. And again, if you got feedback on today's show, you can Twitter me at Geek News. You can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. Or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. I want to start the, let's do that. I want to start this article talking about the folks that are the notorious hackers known as Anonymous. Well, they are in a war, internal war. War is currently raging between competing factions of the collective known as Anonymous. And there's been takeover of IRC servers, domain names. It's ugly. And they basically, some of them are saying there's too much, some people acting like dictators. And, you know, anytime you get a bunch of folks that are really, for a better word, A-type personalities, they're all together, there's always going to be this struggle for leadership. And, you know, everyone wants to lead. No one wants to work. And, you know, so it's hard for these, you know, these loosely knit groups. And it's kind of the same way it was in the old BBS days, man. There was just like constant blame wars, all these people fighting. And it was just, it was always chaos. It really, really was. So what's going on right now is pure chaos within the Anonymous ranks. And I'm sure that makes many companies happy, but I don't think they're going away. I think, you know, these folks are used to clashing. The guy that took over basically hijacked everything in association with the 808 Chan and also a 4chan splinter site. So, you know, this is, you know, once again, here we have, you know, these individuals that come in from these different notorious, really IRC channels and everything else. And they are, they're at war with one another. And there's lots of articles about that today. I've got a couple from, I got one from ours. The people that broke this, though, were over at inq.co.uk, Think. And this is a some exclusive information they've got, some interviews they've done. So I have all these linked up in the show notes for you to check out. But I'm sure we haven't heard the end of this. Last week, Fortune published an article, and I'm going to bring up the headline that is basically popped my interest tonight and wanted me to talk a little bit more about this. And this is an article that was written over at All Things Digital, the media memo by Peter Kafka. And he wrote this post, says, "Why Fortune's Apple story is AWOL from the web and why you can buy it on Amazon." And, you know, usually when Fortune articles pop, we're able to go over and read them pretty quickly. So what happened last week, and this is something that is kind of interesting. Fortune ran an experiment on purpose. And what they did is they put kind of just the first little paragraph out on the web. And then if you wanted to read the full story, you could sign up for a $20 subscription, which would have given you access to the app and I believe a year's worth of Fortune magazine, or you just buy $4.99, just buy a single article on or a single edition on the iPad app. Now, what they've done here is Fortune wanted to see how many people they could drive to actually paying for the service. And what they found out was over the weekend, Fortune tracked 1,400 referral visits to its subscription page from one of the external posts that really kind of wrote the majority of the information about their original article, and then drove another 1,000 visits to the app's iTunes preview page. They haven't seen the sales numbers yet, but what they're doing here is today they released a little bit more of the article. They put a little bit more, of a teaser, like another paragraph and a half, out on the web. And so they're going to try to see what happens over a 3, 4, 5, 6 day period of little by little releasing the article on how many sales they can drive to subscriptions and people buying just the one-off edition. So I think this is an interesting experiment by them. And I think would be, if they were willing to share what they found, I think it would be kind of cool too. Now, you could buy you could buy it for 99 cents as well on Amazon. So what is it different? iPad edition was $4.99. And you could sign up for $20 for what, the full paper subscription? I guess so. So I guess you could buy a single edition for 99 cents. But anyway, I guess it's kind of interesting. Now, would you rather read the source, or are you willing to get the information from the tech blogs? I was willing to just read it on the tech blogs, but not all the story got out. So Fortune is saying they're going to release it all at some point, but any of you go over there and pick up the, pay for the article or pay for this month's edition of Fortune, the digital version, either via iTunes or via through the iPad or through Amazon to get into the Kindle. So kind of curious. Love to hear you guys' feedback on that. But it's interesting what they've done here in this little social experiment. And this was a heavy article about the internal workings of Apple and what Steve Jobs is doing over there. All right, this next one, those of you that are Mac users, you really need to listen up, okay? I'm serious. People from years have been saying that there's going to be malware and viruses for the Macs. And there was a lot of poo-pooing about a recent article done by Edbot talking about this particular situation for Mac users. And they were saying, everyone's crying wolf over what's going to happen. And, and I think to a certain extent, you guys have been pretty lucky up to this point. You know, there hasn't been too much nasty stuff that's been out there. There's been a few things. Now, it's been proven that Apple has had to patch the software just as much as Microsoft has. There have been zero-day exploits that the Mac users have been lucky to get around and not have an issue with. And some continue to say that there will never, ever be an issue with Mac malware or Mac viruses. But the follow-up article that Edbot did, if you read this without going into fanboy mode and really read what he has to say and the arguments that he has and why you should not feel as secure as you are, because I know I'm same way. There's a Mac running right here. And while I have Windows loaded in here in Parallels, I have no anti... Well, actually, I do now. I've got some antivirus loaded on this now. Did it about a month and a half ago, but it just sits there and does its thing, by itself, and I don't touch it. But I got two other Macs. I know they'll have anything on them, and those are the ones that kids use, probably the ones I should probably actually have something on. But there is a situation here just recently. Apple released 23 separate fixes for vulnerabilities that allowed arbitrary code execution in the current shipping version of OS X. And at least three of those vulnerabilities are new in Snow Leopard and did not exist in previous versions of OS X. No permission boxes pop up, no password prompts are required, but they own your machine that quick. And his point here is that there's been some predictions that once user share gets to a certain part, certain percentage, and what's different is, now think about this. Let's go back 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. There was literally being thousands and thousands and thousands of viruses and malwares that were being released every month that was targeting specifically Microsoft machines. obviously 97% of the market, huge market share. Windows XP was relatively easy to hack. So the malware writers were going after these machines. Things have changed. The people that are now going after your machines are hardcore criminal elements, largely out of Russia, who have huge businesses, QA departments, everything that has really evolved around a business of doing nothing more than trying to infiltrate your computer, get access to your private data, get access to your banking information. And this is going, they're going after PCs hot and heavy. They're selling kits now where people can just buy a kit, a hacking kit, and it's already put together, has control panel, it's menu driven. It's not like something that someone have to cobble together with some code. They're actually selling an auto update service. You pay for it, you get new vulnerabilities dropped into the system. You can spread these across websites and basically take over people's machines and garner data from that, steal credit card information and everything else that goes along with what they're doing. And they're very fancy kits, very fancy. This isn't like, you know, running a sophisticated website with a control panel. For the first time, a Mac kit has shipped. People in that space now can get a predefined software package. They can put code on sites on the web that you visit or that they get access to that will infect your machine just by visiting a web page. So I'm going to get email by the dozens saying, Todd, you're smoking crack. You're going to come back to me and say, there's no way. This is not happening. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not protecting yourself and you're not protecting your data and you don't have it backed up, you are going to be in for a rude awakening, just as like all of us other millions of PC users have had to battle this battle for years. And you guys have not had to. And it's been secure up to this point. You know, you haven't had too many issues. But within this article, one gal who is a hardcore Mac user, she says, hey, my machine got hacked just last week. I didn't know it. And all of a sudden, something strange started happening. And all of a sudden, my data is owned. And as you guys remember, at this year's Pawn to Own contest, the first successful hack against a MacBook running a fully patched copy of OS X, which had just received 62 documented vulnerability fixes from Apple just a few days before, was the first machine hacked in the Pawn to Own hacker challenge. And I won't go into the full deal, but they were in the root. They were deep. They owned your machine. Could control it, could do whatever they wanted to do with it, and you could do nothing about it. So this is a huge, now everyone's poo-pooing this guy, all right? But I'm going to tell you, as a listener of this show, I read through this, I tried to keep an open mind and really understand his thought process on this. But I'm going to show you guys a page, those of you who are watching the video, and they just do a screenshot of these admin kits that are being used to generate malware. And if you can see down here, it says hack the planet, take your money. And up at the text is tax, create tasks for billing, modify cards, task statistics, ban bots, settings, bot monitoring, create tasks for loader. There's all kinds of stuff here where all they got to do is generate the malware right in this admin kit. And it's like working in a WordPress console. And this thing actually is a do-it-yourself crimeware kit. And guess what? For $1,500 a month, for $1,500 a year, you can be on the auto-update plan and get auto-updates and new stuff loaded into this. Now, you buy it for $2,000. That's how much it costs to buy this kit. For max, $2,000. And then again, $1,500 every year to stay in an auto subscription to get new stuff for $3,500. they can take control of your Mac OS X computer today. And so please, I'm going to have this link up in the show notes. You guys got to check this out. And I know that many of you are going to say, bah humbug, it's not going to happen, but protect yourself, okay? I think there's a tipping point here we're at, and sadly, what's going to happen, and what's really going to be the wake-up call is there's just going to be you're going to wake up one morning, your machine's going to be owned, and you're going to be like, what do I do? And because most of you have never had to deal with anything, you're either going to go to the Mac store, or you're going to restore, or, you know, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in big, big trouble. And I don't try to be an alarmist, okay? But after reading this article over on ZDNet, then please be aware. Malware is on its way. And it may not be today, may not be tomorrow. But when it comes, it's going to get a large majority of Mac users in a hurry, okay? All right, those of you in the UK, we'll switch gears here. Those of you in the UK, you need a heads up here, especially any of you, well, better yet, any of you that fall underneath the arm of the European Union. In February, a secret meeting of the European Law Enforcement Work Party, LEWP, resulted in a worrying proposal. The folks over at Torrent Freak have been talking about a new proposal. And here's basically what it boils down to. To deal with illicit sites on the internet, the group suggested the adoption of a China-like firewall to block websites deemed inappropriate. The controversial proposal immediately met resistance from various sites, including ISPs, who would be tasked with maintaining the block list. But the copyright lobby, on the other hand, welcomes the initiative, which they have been suggesting for years. So many folks were not happy with the EU's latest censorship proposal, but it is moving through. And this group is going to, at the EU, it looks like this thing's got legs. The Pirate Bay has come out with this manifesto. And basically, the Pirate Bay has said they've declared war on the proponents of internet censorship, more prominently, the entertainment industry, and which they label as the mafia lobbyist. And then in a slightly edited version of Winston Churchill's This Was Their Finest Hour speech, in which they replaced Nazi Germany with the MAFIAA, the Pirate Bay team has declared war on internet censorship advocates. So be aware, if you're in the European Union, you may not have any choice. This China firewall may be forced upon the EU, and the EU is going to decide, this is scary, your governing body is going to decide what you can visit on the internet and what you cannot. So be aware that this is forthcoming. The Pirate Bay, the battle of the internets, is about to begin. They're worried about it, and they think that it has enough legs that it could get through. So those of you that are falling underneath that realm, love to hear your feedback, of course, always. And, you know, if you want to call, those of you in the UK, if you want to call our hotline, +1 +1 619-342-7365. All right, Chrome, boy, oh boy, French researchers have demoed an attack on Chrome and hacked it pretty quick. It didn't withstand the assault, so they've got basically owned a machine through Chrome. So Chrome used to be pretty good, but they're saying that they're warning everyone now that there is a pretty big issue here. They haven't contacted Google yet and passed on their information, but be aware that all these browsers are subject to, you know, some form of attack or another. Are you missing your PlayStation Network? Are you upset that you haven't been able to get on? And be honest with you, I'm not familiar with the PlayStation Network, and I guess you guys game against one another. Are all of you PlayStation gamers that play on PSN, are you guys going through, like, withdrawals? Here's my advice. They're saying that this may not be remedied until the 31st of May. And I think this is an opportunity for for those of you that are hardcore gamers. I think the opportunity here is that just like I went on a 12-step plan to really kind of, after 9/11, when I was without internet service for nearly 80 days, I think this is a good opportunity for you guys to put away the controllers, get outside a little bit, and enjoy life and, you know, walk away from the place. You know, you don't have no network right now. So unless you're just playing games with your buddies and family members and gals, maybe it's time to, you know, until they bring the network back online in 20 or so days, is to kind of just take a break and, you know, lock the thing up and get out and experience life a little bit. Just like me, get out and do a little walking and, you know, take off a few pounds, go to the gym instead of, you know, doing the PlayStation time. So if you are in right now, if you are in withdrawals because you cannot get access to the PlayStation Network, I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear your thoughts and comments. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Hey, Andrew wrote a great article over at Geek News Central talking about the situation with LastPass. And, you know, I think we all had a big wake-up call here last week. And Andrew wrote a great article that basically says, hey, I tried them, but I'm not using them anymore. But, I have passwords still over there. So how many of you have tried a service and have not canceled or removed the information in? He said, here's the thing I like in his post. He said, when I read that LastPass had an issue, at the 0 second mark, I said, I don't use that anymore. 15 seconds later, said, I never deleted the account at LastPass. 30 seconds in, he says, I never deleted my account at any of the online password sites. At 45 seconds in, he says, what were all those sites I tried? It's true. We go to a site, we log in, we try it, we put details in there, and then we say, this sucks, and we move on, right? He says, fortunately, it wasn't as bad as he thought. He says, to start with, most of the online system I tried, they only stored a few passwords before I junked them. Secondly, I do change my passwords on a semi-regular basis. Finally, I was able to track down all the sites and delete my accounts. He says, it taught me a valuable lesson. Don't be careless with your information. The fewer places exist, the less likely it will be to go astray. To back this up, once a year, I'm going to sit down and go through all the entries in my... He's using Splash ID now, which is on his mobile device, for any websites that I don't use anymore. I'll log on one final time and delete the account or registration. So if this is, I agree with Andrew. Things are getting worse before it gets better on these types of situations. There's been lots of people upset when Twitter has pulled RSS feeds. And well, what they've really done is they've kind of hid these things. They're kind of still there, but they're not publicly giving you a link to where your RSS feed is on Twitter. And Twitter and Facebook have done this and basically removed the ability really for you to track stuff in your timeline via RSS. But Dave Weiner over at scripting.com has basically given us some information on how they store those. All you need to know is what your user number is. Now, Dave was the 3,839th user at Twitter. So his user timeline was 3839.rss. I think mine is at 100,000 or something like that. You can find your user number in Twitter itself because they put a number, I think, some places underneath your profile. So you may be able to find your Twitter feed. Otherwise, they've hid it. And I don't know what you guys think about them hiding it, but it's obviously about making you come to their website. They don't want you consuming Twitter data externally. They want you to come over there and hit their website so they get page views. This next article is pretty remarkable. This was over on Engadget, and I want to play this for you. This is a video. It's only 42 seconds long. It's real short. Okay, it didn't load. Let me re-grab that copy. And paste and go. Gotta love this paste and go. In this is an article over on Engadget, and this is from the Grasp Lab. It's called Quad Rocopters Learn to Follow a Leader and Fly in Formation. This, my friends, is really, really cool. Now, I'm going to put this up. I'm going to play it. For those of you that are, let's see, do I have, I won't play no audio with it. I'll just talk about it. But those of you that are listening and not watching, you've got to go see this. What they have done, where we're going with automation in these, here we've got just a little toy almost flying in a lab. And they got these things flying in formation. So let me go ahead and bring this up. Then let me play this short 42-second video here and bring it up to full screen. Oh, you can hear it on my speaker here. So what they're doing is they're flying these back and forth. And it's basically one of them is, it's basically those, you've seen those little four prop look like helicopter type deals. Well, this one here is now one of them is going to lose communication. So all of a sudden it says, oops, I've lost communications. I no longer can fly in the formation. And it kind of just drops out off the scene and the other three continue on and fly in formation. They don't hit one another. You know, these are type of things where I see these things crash into one another all the time at parks and when people have these things. But what it was really that I'm going to tell you, that took some doing. And to get those things to fly in formation, there's some exciting stuff coming out with these types of devices. And I can see where it will be won't be very long before individuals are going to be buying four, five, six of these things. And they're not cheap. And fly them in formation. We could have, you know, the remote control vehicle folks who are flying airplanes and different types of stuff. If they get this science down, it's going to open up a whole new spectrum for this, for that hobby. It really will. And definitely not an inexpensive hobby, to say the least. But what they've done there was pretty remarkable. I was pretty astounded just thinking about the electronics and the data linking that was going on to keep those things separated back and forth. Hey, Apple is hooking up with Nuance. And apparently on the next generation iPhone, you're going to be able to speak into your phone. Where are hamburgers or what time are the movies? You're going to be able to make those data calls. And essentially, it's going to give you that information. So part of their new North Carolina data center is going to be running the Nuance software. And they've also tied this up with Siri's voice search services. So those two together. So Nuance is going to understand what you're saying. Then Siri is going to do the voice search. So those two combinations together is going to give you a very powerful voice-activated service. So it's going to be very cool. We'll see where this goes. And, you know, Apple's always leading the way. But this article was over on Gizmodo. Hey, those of you that play Xbox, soon you're going to be able to buy stuff on PayPal. And you're going to be able to buy content and subscription materials purchased on the console. And it's going to be an update here that comes soon. The update also supports a new game disc format called Xbox Game Disc Format 3, XGD3, which will have more storage and better copy protection than current disc. And so this is cool. Cool that you're going to be able to do some PayPal action on the Xbox. Supposed to be released between 5:19 and 5:30. So watch your consoles for the update. Comcast is going to open its video on demand to TiVo. So if you've got a TiVo and you're on Comcast, and if you buy one of their premier DVRs, you're going to get the Comcast on demand availability right inside the TiVo Premier. So that's pretty cool. And so I'm looking at this menu. I tell you, TiVo's got it going on. They really do. They're figuring this thing out in a big way. Here you got Comcast On Demand, Netflix on, basically Netflix, Blockbuster On Demand, TiVo Suggestions, and then Showtime and everything tied around it along with your menu items. And so if you've got a TiVo and you've got one of their premier ones, this is some menu updates that you may have already seen already. If you're on Comcast, you're going to be able to use the Comcast Video On Demand stuff. I'm kind of curious if that's going to work. Many of you are on like Rogers or Time Warner and you've got one of these. Drop me a line if you can see the Comcast Video On Demand, if you can actually buy that through one of, you know, if Comcast isn't your actual TV folks. All right, looking at the time here. Yeah, we're doing okay. Hey, MPAA, boy, oh boy. ISO Hunt is just, they lost an injunction. And the ISO Hunt is going and appealing, and they are just absolutely going after the MPAA in a big way in their testimony. So kind of an interesting read. Actually, there's a podcast associated with this as well. There was a hearing. But if you've been following this at all, definitely may want to check this out. This is over at torrentfreak.com. Another article over. Oh, actually, we already covered that, so we can close that one. It appears, how many of you guys are familiar? And I wasn't familiar with this until today. But how many are Infinity TV? Have you heard about this? Infinity TV 4? So Infinity TV network tuner is basically has four different tuners inside it. It's a multi-tuner card. And this is something new that's being sold. And it's by a company called Ceton, C-E-T-O-N. And this is pretty big. And this is available via Amazon. And pretty cool stuff. Really, it is. But, what I like about this is you've got four tuners. So guess what that means? You can do four recordings at once. And this is big. It really, really is in your Windows Media Center. So link will be up in the show notes on this. And I'm going to have to check these out. How much does these babies cost? Let me load the thing up in Amazon, see how much they are. Oh, they're pricey, $3.99. So they're not cheap. And, of course, you're only going to be able to record the channels that they allow you to record because it does not have the card you can stick in from the cable provider to make it see all the channels. But anyway, cool deal by them. All right, over on Wired, biggest BitTorrent downloading case in U.S. history, target 23,000 dependents. Defendants, not dependents, defendants. They might be dependents. They might be government dependents by they get done with these folks and take all their money. But apparently, at least 23,000 file sharers will soon likely get notified that they're being sued for downloading the Expendables in what has become the single largest illegal BitTorrent downloading case in U.S. history. A federal judge in the case has agreed to allow the U.S. copyright group, the same knuckleheads, to subpoena internet service providers to find out the identity about everyone who had illegally downloaded the 2010 Sylvester Stallone flick. Was that actually a good movie? I didn't even watch it. All told, 140,000 BitTorrent downloaders are being targeted in dozens of lawsuits across the country. This is huge. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I'm sure the cable providers are going to say, oh, we can process 10 a month. You're okay unless you're one of the first 10. Picture of the day, astronaut view of sunset over South America. This is beautiful. And just imagine being able to get the money raised and do a vacation to the International Space Station and being able to look out the window and just seeing this great view. You know, what NASA has done is sometimes they have a live stream of just the camera stuck in a window on the International Space Station. You can watch the live stream. You know, and sometimes the angle is good, sometimes the angle is not so good. But, you know, here's an angle that is absolutely perfect. There's nothing obstructing the view, and it's awesome. So anyway, pretty cool view of planet Earth, sunset over South America. All right, next up, I found a site tonight that I was like, whoa, let me check this out. And actually, they might be a minor competitor to ours. It's called Vidcaster at vidcaster.com. But looks like this company could be a good way for those of you that are doing video to find, basically get some distribution of your into different websites. One post in, multiple places distributed to, and not inexpensive, $39 to $299 per month for the service. I think that's going to be their biggest challenge is pricing on this. But anyway, check vidcaster.com out. Article over on GigaOM. YouTube has relaunched rentals, revamped site for pro content. So now you're going to be able to get up to 3,000 titles. And they've teamed up with Sony Pictures and Universal and Warner Brothers as partners. So the new movie titles will be accompanied by reviews. So some of the stuff they've got in here, Survivor, Tara, Nurse Jackie, what else? I'm looking at some of the list. The Lake, Movie Night, Keep the Heat. That's something I'm not even familiar with they've got listed here. But anyway, they did make a big change to the YouTube site. So now you can go watch videos on demand. No, I don't know. Are you guys going to go rent videos at YouTube? You know, honestly, I'm not. I don't see myself doing that. There has to be an app on the Roku or on some other device. I don't want to sit in front of my computer and watch this. I want to kick back in my lazy boy and watch just like I watch Geek News Central on my 60-inch flat screen in replay mode. So, I don't know. We'll see. What do you think about this thing with YouTube? Hey, Google I.O. 2011, the Google I.O. conference sold out in just 59 minutes. So, Google's going to be setting up a live stream of the Google conference. It's going to be at google.com/IO. Live coverage will include keynotes and live video feeds from its two largest session rooms throughout the two-day conference, featuring sessions from Android and Chrome tracks. And we are on pins and needles. We are expecting something to be talked about Google TV. And I've got my team locked and loaded. We are ready to go if Google makes an announcement of the introduction of the new Google TV and releasing the API. We are as close to being ready to punch an app as we kind of pre-prepared. And all we got to do is get the spec, make sure we're good. And, you know, because we've launched our Android app, our Blueberry app is available on the Android now. Go over to the Android store and pick up the Blueberry app. You can watch and listen to all the great podcasts at blueberry.com. But we're locked and loaded. We're ready to go. As soon as they open it up, we will be dropping apps into the Android space in order to support Google TV. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So I'll be watching the news tentatively tomorrow for any announcements coming from Google. Did you guys know there's additional browsers you can load on your iPad? Weblicious, Fractal, TubeWeb, StumbleUpon even has a browser, 360 Lite. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And but yeah, if you want an alternative browser to load, those are available in the iPad store. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Okay. Also, if you blog live events, got links to three easy methods to help you live blog events. One is called WordFare, WordFare.com. It's a new service that's potentially being a one-stop shop for live blogging. Then there's a plugin, Live Blogging WordPress plugin. That's probably the best one that I think you should use. Or Cover It Live, and I know a lot of folks use that as well. So if you like live blogging events, definitely use one of these three tools. So I have a link up in the show notes for you as well. If you are a Android user, today's update to Google Goggles brings improved business card recognition to the Search by Photo app. So really what they've done is streamline the process of converting a colleague's business card into a digital contact. Take a picture of it. They've done some recognition software. It gives you what it thinks it is. You can edit it. You can see the picture of the card, and it loads it in Google Goggles. So just a word there. And I haven't seen that. I don't know if this is available on the iPhone or not, but it's definitely available on the Android. All right, over at Lifehacker. How many of you been in the shower and had one of those aha moments? You're like, oh my gosh, I've just come up with a way to solve world hunger. You know, we all have had those moments where you're in the shower, you're kind of relaxed. I think it's kind of a time where your brain allows you to be a little more, you know, creative in your thinking because, you know, you're just in there going through the motions, right? You know, getting the old, you know, my wife has these nice Japanese thick washcloths are about this big, and they're thin. It's unlike a standard American washcloth, but it's huge. You soap that baby up, and you're scrubbing yourself with it, and it's got a little bristle to it, so, you know, you get rid of some, you know, that dead skin at the same time. And I know, TMI. But anyway, you know, you're in there, you're having a shower, and you're like, man, I just got a brilliant idea. Well, there's a new product. It's called Aquanotes. Waterproof notepad captures the great ideas you get in the shower. You know, I'll be honest with you. This is $7. If it works, I'll have one in my shower. Because often I'll be in the shower and I'll be like, it's just like this show, getting ready for this show. I jump in the shower before this show. And I think, okay, what's some other stuff I can talk about in the beginning? I'll talk about that. And then I get back here, I'm like, what's wrong? Do I have a little bit of Alzheimer's going on? I can't think about what I was just thinking about in the shower. But if I had that thing, I could write it down. So this is a great product. I'm stoked. I really am. And again, $7. My wife will not allow this in the shower. I'll have to put it somewhere on, you know, hide it in the back where the shower curtain, you know, kind of covers up the shower a little bit. But, you know, it's... Yes, call me a dork, but we've all had those moments. We really have. All of us have had that moment in the shower. I'm a heavy user of a Google Calendar, and this is really it's a function of being able to, with my team spread across the 4 time zones, we really have to be dialed in on what each other's schedule is. And today, Google has announced you can change colors. So you can change colors to your appointments. So choose an event color. So this is good. I'm about color coordination. You know, red for important stuff, gray for the stuff that's not so important. But, you know, I like list. And I like, you know, sometimes I have a yellow pad. I keep list. That's my, you know, my fancy iPad from time to time. Just easier to write something down. And then I keep an ongoing list. And I just scratch stuff off as I need to get through it. But Google Calendar works good for making sure my team knows what my schedule is. Okay, let's move on here. More evidence of liquid erosion on Mars. And I'm looking at this picture from Mars, and I'm thinking to myself, that looks like a landslide. That doesn't look like water erosion. And scientists are arguing back and forth whether or not this picture is a picture of a landslide or natural erosion, or if it's something to do with water. And I'm thinking to myself, well, did the water originate at the base of that cliff and then just run out? Or did, you know, you just have no perspective of height, data, or anything else like this. But anyway, possible water form gullies cut through the sedimentary layers in the Turby Crater. So this is 170 kilometer wide, in other words, 100 mile wide crater located on the northern edge of the vast Hellas Plantea Basin in Mars' southern hemisphere. So, of course, picture was taken by the Mars Voyager. So, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, excuse me. But, you know, I think these pictures can be a bit deceiving at times. So, anyway, I think any evidence of water in Mars, at least from pictures, is highly suspect until we get there. Lots of stuff talking in the health field about bacteria that's becoming resistant to some of our most powerful antibiotics. And they're finding now that there's more bacteria that are making the jump from animal to human. There's a little bit of a scary article written in Wired. It's a superbug talking about farm antibiotics causing pig staff and a daycare worker. And it's truly a bacteria found in swine, and it was transferred somehow to a daycare worker, which then probably is being transferred to all these kids in school. It's not causing anybody to get sick. It's not reacting. So it's not one of those staffs that's killing us yet. But, you know, one thing I learned is, you know, many of you know my history. I grew up in the country and did my fair share of plowing and basically planting corn and baling hay and raising animals. And it was all my 18 and under years. And, raising livestock and taking care of them and basically giving them antibiotics when they got sick. And I've been well disconnected from the agricultural community for, you know, since I was 18, which is many years ago. And at this point, I have no idea what's going on in that space from them using, how much drugs they're using and how. But you think about tetracycline, it's been around forever. It's one of those antibiotics that I remember we had in the refrigerator that we would give animals that would get sick. And it was a great drug to really bring them back around. And when you had livestock that was literally worth thousands of dollars per head, which is, you know, kind of a, people are shocked to hear that, but some breeding livestock was that expensive. They're, you know, you want to save them. So over the years, I'm sure many of these, this bacteria has gotten, just like it has in humans, has become resistant to antibiotics. So I think this is going to be a growing problem, and we're starting to see it. It just, we hope that it never turns into a true superbug and wipes out the planet, something we can't control. Hey, here we're on Tech Dirt. AC/DC says their songs will never be available for download. Okay. Apparently, AC/DC fans or band members are standing firm and saying that they will never allow authorized versions of their music to be sold online for download. They seem to think that because they want people to listen to whole albums, not just the tracks, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have about this many AC/DC songs that I listen to, and the rest of them, I don't listen to the whole album. You know, I've got all their albums, but I've just, you know, I've ripped the ones that I want to listen to. I don't get this, you know. These guys are, makes me sad. I love AC/DC. I really do. I love that music. Grew up with it. The AP is being sued in a big way. Apparently, they felt that they could use another person's graphics and it, not even paying for them, and at the same time, reselling them as their own. So, you know, the AP being one of the folks that have really been smacking bloggers around for copyright infringement, turns out they've been doing a little of that themselves, apparently, and they are now being sued by one of the artists. All right, this is the coolest article of the day, and you guys got to check this out. It'll be one of the last articles tonight, skysurvey.org. This photo optic sky survey is a 5,000 megapixel photograph of the entire night sky stitched together from 37,440 exposures, large in size and scope. It portrays a world far beyond the one beneath our feet. This is goes into the history of how they did this. This guy traveled all over the world to get all the pictures. These are this is unbelievable. Skysurvey.org. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, World Servers processed 9.57 zettabytes of data in 2010. Also, I have a link up to an article about the Foxconn factories and how bad it is and how the Chinese workers there are really, yeah, well, obviously, in China, you know, I don't think there's any workers' rights. I think it's mostly slave labor. They're making a little bit of money, but working for about $240 a month, if they're lucky. Can you imagine that? Of course, I know the cost of living in rural China is much lower, but still at $240 a month, that's pretty low. It makes you feel guilty buying that Apple iPad, doesn't it? Anyway, good article by PC World on Foxconn factories. Hey, they're going to do the shuttle launch now on May 16th. So we're about 7 days away, 6 days away from that. So that's the new date. NASA's got it all fixed up and buttoned up, ready to go. San Francisco is welcoming the first scheduled A380 flight. So this is an article on CNET. So this is big. And apparently the A380 is, you know, it's huge. So Lufthansa is going to be operating its daily flight from Frankfurt tomorrow with the world's largest commercial airplane. The A380, which replaces the Boeing 747 on the route, will transport 526 people in three classes of services. And the flight time will be about 11 hours. So huge. So I don't know where they're going to be taking off from. Is it Heathrow or wherever? But anyway, this is their first flight. Lufthansa, again, 11-hour flight, 526-passenger A380 coming to San Francisco. YouTube founders have acquired Tap 11. So they've been making some acquisitions. I'll have the link up in the show notes about that. Some other good stuff here. Domestic Surveillance Court approved 100% of 2010 warrant request, which shouldn't surprise any of us. And skip this one, skip that one. I got a bunch of stuff here that I too long to go through. But I think the last one I'll leave you then is with an article over on popsci.com. Of course, this is a popular science website. Talks about the flooding that's going on through the Mississippi flood region. And I know probably some of you are affected by that, But there's this new pumping station they've got set up in New Orleans. It hasn't been completely ready. It's a $500 million station. It's part of the $14 billion federal project to fortify the Big Easy. This pump, check this out. This bad boy can pump 150,000 gallons of flood water per second. That's 15 swimming pools a minute. That's amazing. Anyway, I've got a link up to that in the show notes. I have some extra stuff too, some external stuff for you to check out and that I didn't cover because we're just out of time. Let me go ahead and bounce into the emails so we get you out of here on time tonight. Let me go ahead and load. I didn't have that loaded, so that's going to waste a second. As always, you can send your show comments to 619-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, loading the email up here. The first article I got is from Deb. It says, hey, Todd, just wanted to say, don't pick on WordPerfect. It was the best word processor ever. Word is still trying to catch up. I hate every minute of using Word and only switch because it was getting too hard to preserve the formatting and share documents with the rest of the world. WordPerfect had reveal codes that told you why it was changing, why it changed formatting. Then you could change the codes and formatting would revert back. WordPerfect handled multi-column, multi-page documents with graphics with ease. Not Word. If I want to use graphics, I can count on a document taking as 3 times as long as it should to prepare, or I suffer through using Publisher instead. I guess you could say WordPerfect was a blend between Publisher and Word, but did the job excellently. Also worked in an engineering firm where we typed spec books. These were often 200 to 300 page documents. WordPerfect handled them very well and was preferred in our office for our large documents. Keep up the great show. Dev, I'm sorry. I am so over WordPerfect. I guess maybe I don't use Word enough, but I'm not a, that's like ancient history. But anyway, they may get some money out of Microsoft anyway. Got an email here from Justin. He said, hey, Todd, how's it going? I was thinking about all the concerns and FUD around location tracking and privacy lately. It says iPhone's tracking file, camera EXF data and location, etc. And wondered if readers would be interested in how location servers are being used for the for good. It said GadgetTrack has some great stolen laptop recoveries lately. This one was on CBS 5 in the Bay Area over the weekend. It talks about a laptop being recovered. Interesting. Cheers, Justin. And definitely check out, I have Justin's link to his website as well. Disclaimer here, Justin is a listener of the show, but Justin also is with GadgetTrack. So definitely a little PR on his part, but good article nonetheless. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. It says, hey, Todd, Derek, of course, Derek Miller, who we talked about on the last show, who passed away last week, has been that his blog post has been picked up with CNN and all over CNBC, Fox. They pretty much all the majors picked this up, but CNN covered Derek's blog post. I also got an email here from Trucker Tom that basically talks about climate change could disrupt Wi-Fi and hit power supply. So he's got an article about that, and this is an article that was over at telegraph.co.uk. This popped over the weekend. I have this link up in the show notes. Pretty good read on that. Got an email here from Tom. He says, hey, Todd, I don't know if you've seen this video, but it's pretty cool. Maybe someday I'll be a millionaire and I could afford a place like this. It talks about Microsoft campus tours and the Microsoft home. And I've seen some of these types of homes before at like CES, but it's a good one. This is over on Channel 9. Thanks, Tom, for that out of Nampa, Idaho. And again, Dale, thank you so much for being an insider now for a year. It is greatly appreciated. Your platinum contribution to the show is greatly appreciated. It really is. And if I had about 100 more of Dale's, we could do some amazing things here. So consider becoming a platinum contributor, be an insider here at Geek News Central. And it really helps. Of course, we love anybody. It's a $2, $5, $10 a month contributor. We super love the $25 contributors as well. And we thank Dale for being a big supporter here of the show and putting his money where his mouth is and supporting this podcast. All right, folks, that wraps me up here. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, the voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your venting pleasure. at area code 619-342-7365. I'm going to get you out of here on time. How about that? Making time, not overtime, not going long anymore, but making time. Can't promise it always, but we're going to do our best to do so. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care and aloha. All right. I'm going to stay up on the stream here for a little bit. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. And let me look at, come back on. I got to stop another recorder here. So I'm going to stop this recorder.